So we are holding on pay on the bays about 3/4 of the way down the Elmwood. Seven lines from the bottom. Okay, we're in the middle of a discussion as follows. We said in our Mishnah we had various cases where blood got mixed up with blood. Blood, most of them were where the where all of it is from. We had one case at the beginning of the Mishnah where some of it was blood of Balei Mumim, but then after that we were talking about various cases where the blood is all from Kosher to Karbonis. Just you had different possibilities. You had where blood of Chatos, which is supposed to go on the top half, and the Mizeach was mixed up with blood of Karbonis that go on the bottom half. We have cases where Karbonis that need one application of blood were mixed up with others needing one, four with four, one with four, etc. So that led us into a discussion about the question, what do we say when you have two different liquids mixed? Or when you have two, in this case, not two different liquids, they're all blood, but in other words, when you have different containers, let's say, of liquid that have different statuses in halacha, even though they may be physically the same type of liquid, when they're mixed together, do we say yesh bila or ein bila? Do we say yesh bila, that we assume that they mix completely evenly, and therefore that any amount that you take out of it will be half of one and half of the other, or whatever, proportionally of one and proportionally of the other, or maybe not. Maybe there's a possibility that ein bila, maybe they don't fully mix, and therefore when you take out some amount of it, there might be more or less of one or the other type of liquid, of one or the other type of liquid in there than there's supposed to be. So we discussed that in connection with where we had a machloekas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about that concerning sprinkling part of the water, and we had three different explanations of what Rabbi Eliezer holds. We had Rish Lakish's explanation that we had Rish Lakish's and Rava's explanation that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the Chachamim that yesh bila, that the liquids do mix evenly. And then we had Rav Ashi's answer that Rabbi Eliezer holds ein bila, so they don't necessarily mix evenly. So now we were dealing with the various parts of or the various brises that relate to our Mishnah and various brises that relate to how those can be made to work according to Rav Ashi's understanding. Well, we started with a question on Rish Lakish. That's fine. Rish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion as far as Parah Adruma is contradicted by a braisa where Rebbe clarifies Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Okay, Rish Lakish could maybe say I understand Rabbi Eliezer differently, but whatever. That's a side point. The main point is we're mostly focusing on Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi, unlike Rish Lakish and unlike Rava, wants to say that the machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in our Mishnah about the situation where you have, again, where you have blood of a chatos mixed with blood of oila, where Rabbi Eliezer says you apply some of the blood on the top half of the mizbeach as you would do for a chatos.
Right.
There may be mixed in there some of the blood of the oila, no problem. We'll consider that as if it was water. Then you'll do some of it on the bottom half of the mizbeach to count for the oila. And the Chachamim say that no, you pour it into the, that lachachila, you should pour it into the amma, only be the eved if you didn't ask and you went ahead and did that, then it'll be kosher. So we're dealing with in the Mishnah and in various brises that relate to this, where we also find the machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, how is Rav Ashi going to understand all of this? The point of Rav Ashi, if Rabbi Eliezer holds ein bila, then you have the possibility that when you're putting the blood on the top half representing the chatas, you may end up not putting any of the blood that was supposed to be from the chatas there. It might be all the blood that you happen to take out from the mizrach might happen to be blood of oila, because ein bila, they don't necessarily mix them, and vice versa on the bottom. So we went through our Mishnah and several brises in that regard, and we said that so far what we said is Rav Ashi would have to understand in each of those cases what you do is you put on the top half at least as much of the blood of the oila, a little more rather than the amount of blood of the oila. So if there was, to give the example I was using all yesterday, is you have, let's say, 2 gallons of chatos blood and 1 gallon of oila blood, what you would have to do is you'd have to put a little more than 1 gallon on the top half. That way, even if you suppose that the entire first gallon you took out happened to be blood of oila, fine, but you took out a little more and put it on there, and therefore so you're covered for the chatos no matter what. Then when you put on the bottom half, true, you're not covering for the oila. The oila may in fact be possible because maybe all of its blood went on the top half. But at least you covered as far as the Shirayim of the Chachamim. So Rabbi Eliezer, in other words, Rabbi Ashi would understand that Rabbi Eliezer, in our Mishnah and in the various Brises, doesn't mean that there's a way to make both Karbonas Kosher, just that there's a way at least to make the Chachamim Kosher.
That's the Enbila.
That's the, if we say Enbila, which is Rabbi Ashi's position.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say that we agree that Enbila. Physically, what does that mean? If you have one Ola, if one blood is on the top and one blood is on the bottom, how are you going to, if you take something, you're going to take one part of it, one blood, not two bloods? No matter how much
right, I mean, right.
And if you go on the bottom, you'll have to take both.
Okay. I mean, statistically, you would figure that's exactly how it would be. Right. Physically, okay. I mean, if they're fully mixed, yes. But the point of Enbila is that we might argue that not necessarily do they mix that even. And by the way, though, you're right. I mean, in the sugya over here, especially in the next part where we're going to use the expression achas ba'achas, Rashi learns that achas in the next piece that we're going to learn now. Rashi learns that achas ba'achas means that you have only a very small amount of blood mixed together. You have enough for one matana that got mixed up with enough for one matana. In other words, it's not that you had, the examples that I've been giving all the time, 2 gallons versus 1 gallon or whatever, where even a gallon is well more than you need for any one matana. No, what it means is, Rashi learns that it means that in the next piece of Gemara, that the case we're talking about over here is you have a sheer matana, let's say a sheer matana, the minimum amount you need for it to be considered a valid matana would be, let's say, 1 milliliter, So you have, let's say, you have 2 milliliters mixed together, one of chasaf, one of arla, because it's true. If you say enbila, right? Because
you still have 1 milliliter.
Because then, if you have 10 milliliters of one and 10 of the other, then even if you say enbila, yeah, I mean, realistically, you're going to end up. But also, Rashi makes the point over here that when we get to the next piece of it here, that when you do the matanas, what you would have to do in the next case of the Mishnah, when you have matan arba. You would have to have that you use up all the blood in the zrika. So that way, no matter what, both korbanos are covered, not in the case of the chatas versus the oila, because there you have the different issues, top and bottom. But when we come to the next part of the Mishnah, when we talk about all of them are supposed to be going on the bottom half at different amounts, one is supposed to be one time and the other is supposed to be shtei matanos shtei arba, you have to make sure in the course of it that you're using up all the blood. So that way all the korbanos are covered no matter what. The Shittim HaKobetis has a bit of a discussion about it from his Rebbe, where he discusses the possibility that maybe in fact it does mean that we're talking about larger amounts mixed together. It's not here on the page. It's too long a discussion to fit on the page over here. But he has a discussion quoting his Rebbe.
Maybe 2% is Enbila and 98% is Bila.
What we mean by Enbila is, in other words, when you take out some in order to do an application on a mezeach, not necessarily is it exactly half chasas and half oila. It could be 60% chasas and 40% oila or something. That's the point. When you take it out and apply it to the mezeach, when you dip your finger in, for example, as it's supposed to do for a chasas, and you take out some blood and apply it to the mezeach, it might end up that half of that 60% if it came from a chasas and 40% came from the oil.
And we'll still say
that's the definition of Enbila. Yesh Bila would mean that we assume that it's exactly 50-50.
Those 60% would be only one blood, and those other 40% would be only another blood.
That would be Enbila, right. Okay, so let's go on in the Gemara then. We're holding 7 lines from the bottom on page and day. Toshma, in our Mishnah continued, after it talked about the case of chasas and oil of blood getting mixed up, where there you have the whole complication involving the top half versus the bottom half of the mizeach. Well, our Mishnah continues, if you have blood that is supposed to be applied one time to the mizeach, for example, blood of the bechor, mixed with other blood that's also supposed to be applied one time, for example, Meiser, and the Mishnah had said, Yinosim Ratan Achas, so then you apply it one time to the Mizeach, and that way it covers both of them. Now, if you say Yesh Bila, then you're good, because when you do it one time, we know therefore you have half and half, 50-50, of what you just applied to the Mizeach, half is from the Bechor, half is from the Meiser, so you're covered. The E'amas Ein Bila, but Rav Ashi are telling us that Ein Bila, that not necessarily are they completely mixed. And it's not necessarily are they completely mixed. So therefore, Amayi Nosim Latona Achas. So So why are you saying you should do only one matana? It could happen after all. If it's not mixed, it could happen that you wound up doing all of the matana came from the blood of one of the korbanos and not from the other one. And here you can't say that it means that you're doing it only to be matcher one korban. It seems fairly clear from the way the Mishnah is saying it, yinos matana achas means that you're trying to make both korbanos kosher. Otherwise, if nothing else, what you should do is you should do two matanas. Because that way you're covered no matter what. But here you're saying you just do one matana, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim don't argue about that. So both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim seem to be agreeing that that's acceptable. Now if Rabbi Eliezer holds Ein Vila, then why should that be? Rabbi Eliezer should have to say that you do it twice. The answer is, to make sure that way, even if you did once and it happened to be all from one, then you'll do again and then it'll happen to me. The answer is, that we would be talking about, this next part of the Mishnah, is talking about that you had one in one, which again, Rashi understands that to mean you had the exact amount that you need for one matana, mixed with the exact amount you need for one matana. So therefore, when you say you nosn matana achas, so Rashi says actually it doesn't mean you do only one matana. It means one for each one. It means that you do two. So you do one, that's how Ravashi would understand Rabbi Eliezer's opinion of it. He would say the Chachamim fine would say, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer would have to say then that it means that you do one for each one. Nosn matana achas means one matana for each one. Because if you say yesh vila, then it means, in other words, that the first matana you did contained 50% bechor and 50% meiser, but that's not enough. You don't have enough for a matana there. That's not enough to be considered a matana for either one. Therefore you do one, then you do the other. And that way, between the two of them, then you're covered. And Rabbi Eliezer would say, if Ravashi is saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds ein vila, then fine. When you do the first one, it may have been all bechor. The meiser hasn't been taken care of yet. Now you do another one, and let's say it happens to be all meiser, and therefore you're good. So according to both of them, it means that you would do one matana for each one individually.
Yeah.
Because the question, well, first of all, so how are you going to be able to tell? I mean, unless you start doing... What do you mean, then? And you're going to be able to tell one, batch of blood from the other?
What you want to know is,
you know,
not
Vila. But we're not...
Yesh
Vila or Ein Vila, but do you know that it's throughout the whole thing, have they mixed completely evenly? Or is there the possibility that in some places you have more of a concentration of one, and in some places you have more of a concentration of the other? Again, yes, of course, less than enough time, they will mix. But we're talking about, to begin with, can we assume that they were thoroughly mixed? This isn't the only place in Shas where this question comes up. I was telling you last week, for example, you have a din in Hilchos Mikvois that bears on this also. You have a case that's described in Mishnah. Well, you have not the case of the milk, but actually something a little bit different. In Peres Yeshmal and Hamikra, that's we learn on a yard site and then whatever, you have a case where they're not on star but not off star. If you have a mikvah containing 40 star of water, and then you put in a star of juice, let's say, so now it contains 41 star, and then you take out one star of the mixture, which statistically that one star you're going to take out is going to be 40 parts water and one part juice. And the mixture is still kosher. And then you put in another, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, Yavamas, I think, that you can continue doing that ab ruba. You can continue doing that until you have the majority of the liquid over there isn't the water of the mix anymore. In other words, you do it the first time. Again, you do that the first time and you take out the star of water. When you take out the star, it's 40 parts water and one part juice. If you do that again, then the next time you take it out, it's 39 parts water and two parts juice and so forth. And you keep on doing that. So there's a couple of Achronim talk about it. Rabbi Eger has it in one of his Trubas, and the Sefer Mishnah talks about it in one of his Sfarim or whatever, that if you looked at it mathematically, you could do it almost 30 times and still have before you end up having that a majority of the liquid there isn't water anymore. La halacha, you can't do that because la halacha, you have to be concerned that ein vila, that it may not have gotten fully mixed, and therefore, what if, for example, the first time you took out a saw of liquid, it wasn't 40 parts water and one part juice. What if it was the entire thing was water, and then the second time, and then the third time, and so forth? So the maximum you can do it is 19 times. So in that connection, therefore, we have to be concerned that ein bila. So that kind of thing comes up. So again, what? If you mix juice and water, again, eventually they will mix. But the question is, do they mix so thoroughly? I understand. Do they mix to the extent that any random star that you take out of this mikveh is going to be proportionately water and juice, or maybe not? It might end up that you have more of a concentration of juice over here and more of a concentration of water over here.
It depends on the amount of time after you put.
Okay. Again, obviously, eventually it will mix. Yeah. Okay. You know what?
Are we talking about 5 minutes?
Okay.
2 minutes?
No, but we're talking. Yeah. Come to think of it, now that I think of it, and Hilchos Mikvayos as well. You have another area where this comes in. We know that our minhag, going back to the Rebbe Rashab, is that you have a mikvah, bird on gabi bird. You have an oyster of maybe shamim on the bottom, and then you have the water from the municipal water supply on the top. And the idea is actually, so there you have in the Tikkuni Mikveh, in the note from Rabbi Yaakov Landau over there, at the end of the requirement in the back of the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. So he points out that the Rebbe Rashab's point was, because the water on bottom is cold and the one on top is hot, therefore it's not very likely that they're going to mix. But eventually, the fact is, leave it long enough and they will, eventually leave them long enough and they will mix. Rav Moshe talks about it in one of his shuvahs. And says it doesn't mean therefore you can indefinitely leave the mate shoving there. Eventually you're going to have a problem of nothing solving nothing star, and therefore every so often you do have to change the mate shoving. So given long enough, obviously it will miss. But we're talking about in the short term, do they miss? I don't know what the short term is, but the point is here we're talking about you had a mixture of two different kinds of blood. You're not going to leave them to sit there until they settle out. The fact is, you want to sprinkle them and get it over with. And what do? So then we have to deal with the question: yes, bila or ein bila.
So if it's within a minute,
let's say, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's the point. So maybe yes, bila, or maybe not. Yeah.
It cannot be bila. Means full bila.
Right. Bila would mean full bila. Right.
Well, we have different temperatures.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he was all blood. It's not necessarily different temperature.
Yeah, a lot of different
yeah.
temperatures.
Nah, the animal has the same basic body temperature either way. What were you going to say? So every so often, you have to change the make shum. Every now and then, you have to empty out the make shum and refill it, because otherwise you have inevitably. You have a hole in the floor between the one and the other. That's what makes them touch. That's what makes the top mix for kosher. But if you leave it like that indefinitely, yes, the water on bottom is cold and the water on top is hot, and therefore there's not that much exchange between them. But given enough time, there will be enough exchange. Therefore, every so often. Okay, but even with that, there's still going to be a certain amount of exchange, and eventually you have a problem of nothing solving nothing solving. So therefore, every so often you have to empty out the Burmese shaman. I think what they do is essentially they vacuum it out with a hose, but I don't know, whatever, and then refill it. Okay. Anyway, we're not really talking about Hilchos Mikvayos, so I just mentioned that as a side thing, that there's a more practical day-to-day example where we have Yesh Bila or Ein Bila enter the picture. Alright, let's continue. Okay. Fine. The Gemara continues. What about Matan Arba and Matan Arba? What about the next case of the Mishnah where you had one carbon that needs to be applied Shtei Matronas Chein Arba, such as an Ola, gets mixed up with blood that also needs Shtei Matronas Chein Arba, such as a Shlomim? We said you do Matan Arba, you do four Matanas, meaning Shtei Matronas Chein Arba. And again, if you're going to say Ein Bila, like Rav Ashi says, then, or like Rav Ashi understands Rav Eliezer to be saying, shouldn't have a problem because maybe you did all one from one carbon and all the other from the other carbon. And the answer is Hachanamish and it's Ivo Arba. Same thing, we're talking about that the amount that was mixed together is the amount for four matonis was mixed with the amount of four matonis. And therefore what you do is you do eight matonis altogether. Four for one and when you shtei matonis shtei arba for one as having in mind one and shtei matonis shtei arba having in mind one.
It's not the same coin. Two coins and one has big hands.
Doesn't matter.
Small.
What does hands have to do with it? We're talking about
that's
the process you're talking about. We're on to the next thing. We're talking about where you're taking the mizrach and dashing it against the side of the mezen and dashing the blood out of it against the side of the mezen. Okay. Fine. What about matan arba matana achas? What about the next case of the Mishnah that you have blood that's supposed to be applied, shtema shamas shenava, such as oila, gets mixed up with blood that's supposed to be matanachas, such as bukhur, or meiser. So then, and the Mishnah said, we had the machlokas, where Rabbi Eliezer said you do matan arba, and Rabbi Eliezer said you do matan arba, and Rabbi Yeshua said you do matan achas, and Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah, you have blood of bukhur mixed in over there, and blood of bukhur is only supposed to be one time. What about bal tesis? And Rabbi Eliezer says, it's not a problem because you consider that extra one as if it's water. You're not doing it for the sake of the matanis for the bechor. Well, that's Rabbi Eliezer holds that. We're talking within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So maybe you're going to answer, okay, the same as we answered the two previous times. Maybe what we mean is you have the amount of one matana for the bechor was mixed up with the amount you need for shtei matanis shein arba of the oila. And then when we say you not do matan arba, maybe what Rabbi Eliezer means is not that you do four times. What he really means is you do four times on behalf of the oila, and then one time on behalf of the bechor. So in other words, you do five times. So he'd say that you do five matanis, or not really five, you do three really. One shtei matanis shein arba here, one shtei matanis shein arba here, and then one along the wall, and then one along the wall of the mizbeach, stuff like that, for the bechor. Yeah, this is all in the same case we're talking about. If you're going to understand it that way, ihochi, but if you're going to understand what Rabbi Eliezer is saying that way, then what do you mean, omelet Rabbi Yeshua harayu over abal tosis? Then what do you mean when Rabbi Yeshua says to, when Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, no, apparently, what it is in other words, Rabbi Yeshua apparently is saying, as we said the Chachamim before hold, yeah, no, yesh vila, the liquid do mix evenly, so therefore matana achas is enough. So what do you mean when Rabbi Yeshua says harayu over abal tosis? Talk about Tosif Meheka. Where are you getting any Bal Tosif from? If you're talking about that the scenario is you only had exactly enough for one matana from the Bukhur mixed in with exactly as much as you need for four matanas of the Ola, what kind of Bal Tosif? You're not doing any more than one application of blood from the Bukhur because you only have enough in there for one application. If we assume that the amount, let's say, Kedei Matana is, let's say, 1 milliliter, Then that means you're talking about 1 milliliter of bechor got mixed up with 4 milliliters of oila. And so what are you going to say then? Rabbi Yeshua is telling him if you do more than one time, you're over on baltosif. How are you over on baltosif? You only have one kedei azar, 1 milliliter of blood of bechor. It's not physically possible. Well, if that's the point, if we're going to understand it that way, like we understood the two previous cases, and that's how we would make it work according to Rav Ashi's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, then you can't do that over here, because then Rabbi Yeshua's challenge to Rabbi Eliezer that if you do the way you're telling us, you're over on Baal Tosif, doesn't work. There is no Baal Tosif. You have no more than you don't have any more blood of Bechor over there. Okay, but that's the point. Rabbi Yeshua is arguing to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, saying, you're telling me with this mixture, you're telling me to do four hazai. But the problem with that is, since you have blood of Bechor in there, then you're over on Baal Tosif because the Bechor is only supposed to be done one time. But if you only have enough in there for one hazah from Bechor anyway, then it's not physically possible to do Baal Tosif with the Bechor because you're doing... That's the point. And once we say it's impossible like that, and it's also impossible within the previous case. What? You did it. So in other words, no. If we're going to say what Rabbi Eliezer means is you do three matanas altogether, one here, and one here. But out of all that blood, there's only 1 milliliter, only one kedei, only one matana's worth from the bechor. So what is your one the amount that you just need, the amount which you could do one matana. So what does Rabbi Yeshua mean when he says to Rabbi Eliezer, yeah, but if you do it the way you're saying with three different matanas, you're over on Baal Tosif. What Baal Tosif? You're not adding anything because you only have in there enough for one matana of a bechor. So necessarily it has to mean that we're talking about more blood of bechor was mixed in there, more than one matana's worth. And the pastor thought the more than shtei matanas shein arba's worth of oila. Once you understand that case that way, you also have to understand the previous cases also must be like that. And then we're back to how would Rav Ashi understand Rav Eliezer in these various cases? Because if he says ein bila, you do have the real possibility that when you do the matan acha, when you do the matana acha, you might get all of one and none of the other. Exactly. And that wouldn't work. And yet Rabbi Eliezer is not saying go ahead and do extra hazois to take care of that. that doesn't work.
But then you could be politician.
Well, again, no, because you, because Rabbi Eliezer would say, "Roy, you know, it's Tila and Mayim." He would say that any extra you consider as if it was water. No, so that, so Ella Omar Rava. So no, Rava says, never mind all the discussion that we had before when we went through the Mishnah and the various prices, and we were assuming that, for example, in the case earlier in the Mishnah, that earlier in the Mishnah when we had the Chassas and the Oila were mixed together, where we said that you're able to, you have to put more than the amount of the Oila on the top, and therefore all you're accomplishing is the Chassas will be kosher, the Oila will not. Never mind all of that, says Rob. Never mind, we don't need all those answers. We can answer more straightforwardly that the Mishnah and all the Braises did mean that you do a certain amount on the top, a certain amount on the bottom, and you're used to both karbonas.
By having,
in the case, for example, of the Chassas and the Oila, that you're having, you do some on the top to count for the Chassas, some on the bottom to count for the Oila, and therefore that you're covered for both. What? No, that's what we're, all this time we were assuming that we're talking about a case where the blood was mixed together in one case. And that led us into the discussion, yesh vila or ein vila. Now what Rava is saying is like this. Rav Ashi, let's say that Rav Ashi is correct. Let's say that indeed Rav Eliezer holds ein vila. Well, therefore, that would mean that, yes, if you had the blood was mixed together in one container, in one mizrak, then you're right. Two bloods in one container, then you're right. It wouldn't work to be matshir both korban. However, what we can answer is that our Mishnah and the various brises that we were talking about before are not addressing that case. They're addressing a different case, namely not where they're mixed together in one container, but rather where you have different containers, different mizrakim containing blood, and you lost track of which one is which. The Bolo likely, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim would not be arguing about the case where they're mixed together in the same Kavi, because then in fact you're right. If you say Rabbi Eliezer, who says according to Rav Ashi, Ein Zila, would say that it doesn't work. You're not going to be able to be matched both Karbanas. And the Chachamim would say, yes, Bila, but nevertheless, the Chachila, you shouldn't be doing it. Only be Diyebet if you did it, then it's kosher. So there won't be a Machloikas in that. Completely the Kosis. The Machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you do Lamaila and then Lamasa, and the Chachamim say, no, you shot up La'ama, is talking about where you have Kosis, where you have individual containers, individual basins full of blood, that you lost track which one was which. Which one was from the Chassas, which one was from the Oila. Which one was from the Bechor, which one was from the Oila, etc.
So that's
the point, in other words. So therefore, our Mishnah and the Braises that we quoted on Peyam and Beis are not dealing with the issue of Bila. You can say that, yes, in the case of the Paradrama water that was brought on Peyam and Aleph earlier in the Sugya, yes, Rav Eliezer holds Ein Bila. We can still stick with Rav Ashi's explanation over there, that is why when you have plain water fall into the part of Adrabah water, Rav Eliezer is saying, Yazesh Shei Hazoyas, you have to sprinkle two Hazoyas, because Ein Bila, and therefore when you did the first Hazoya, it may have been all plain water. And therefore you have to do a second time. However, what we're going to say is, our Mishnah and the various Braises that we quoted before are not dealing with that case. Because you're right. If they were dealing with that case, then Rabbi Eliezer would have to be saying differently. Then he would have to be saying that only the Chassas can be made kosher, the Oila can't. Or that in the other cases, we would say that you have to do extra Hazoyas in order to cover all the possibilities and make sure that all the blood has been used. But no, the case that Rabbi Eliezer is arguing, the cases that our Mishnah is dealing with are we have curses are confused with each other. Each one contains the blood of only one curve, but we lost track which one is which. So that's when Rabbi Eliezer would be saying, okay, well, since each one stands on its own, then go ahead and do some Lamaila and do Lamaila and then Lamasa out of that place. And when you're doing Lamaila out of the one, have in mind that if it was actually from the Oila, then it'll be Kila and Bayim, and the same thing on the bottom. Whereas the Chacham say, no, you shop the Fama, fill it. Right, because the Chacham don't accept the concept of Royin, and therefore they say when you do, when you, when, if you were to take the one that might have been from the oila and drew it on the top half. You can't say, well, you know, it's in Kilei Mayim. You can't say, consider as if it was water. It might actually be from the oila, and then the oila is possible. Therefore, they say, you shop for Amma, 4,000 for Amma. B'di'evet, if you did. In Le'nimlach, then he said, if you didn't ask, then fine, B'di'evet is kosher. Because the fact is, blood from the oila did end up going somewhere on the bottom half, because you did both. And that's what he said in the Mishnah, yeah. But anyway, so the point is that the Mishnah is not dealing with the issue of Bila, and therefore we can say that, yes, Rav Ashi is correct that in saying that Rav Eliezer holds Ein Bila, but that's not relevant to the cases that we're dealing with in the Mishnah here. Okay, so because well, Rav Eliezer is a Royin, so therefore when it comes to separate containers of blood, Rav Eliezer holds the Royin, that you can, when you do from the one container on the top and then on the bottom, we can Royin, we can consider as if what was done on the top half, if it came from the cup that really was Ola, consider it as if it was water, therefore the Korban won't be possible. And then Rabbanon will disagree with that concept of Royin, which is similar to what we had in earlier Mishnayos about the cases over there where you had a Vorim of a Chassas mixed with a Vorim of an Ola, where Rabbi Eliezer had said you can be massive all of them on the Mizeach and then consider the ones that aren't supposed to be there, Kira and Eitzim, and the Chacham disagreed with that, so it would be the same basic idea. And the Gemara had said, we learned yesterday that the Gemara had said that the reason why we need Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham and Machloikas in both cases is we need to be told that Rabbi Eliezer is makel even when the kapara has not been accomplished yet. The blood has not even been applied to the mizbeach yet. And we need to be informed that the chacham are machmir even when the kapara has already been done and we're only dealing with should be put a vorim on the mizbeach. So the question now is, so you're telling me then, Rava, that incidentally, it's interesting that Rava is explaining over this when Rava himself earlier in the study had a whole different explanation of the thing. He held that everybody has a whole yeshiva. So it's a little unusual over here that he would be trying to answer what Rav Ashi is saying that Angela. So the one answer is, I mean, Shitim Kubetis brings over here Omer Rava instead, and over there also Yadir Sarit said in one of the other places, maybe Rava, and in that case, in that. Alright, so the question is, so you're telling me they're not arguing in a case where actual blood was mixed together all in one container? This whole issue of Yesh Bila or Ein Bila that we were dealing with up until now? Well, right, Bolo and Bila, yes, the same church. V'hatanya, but we learn in a price, the Omer of Yehuda, l'nechleku Rav Eliezer v'chachamim al dam chata shenis arav v'dam oyla sheyikrav, Rav Yehuda says that Rav Eliezer and the chachamim do not disagree that unlike what we learned before, that if blood of chassas got mixed up with blood of oila, and this arav means that they actually got mixed up in one container, not just the kosis, not just the individual containers got mixed up, but that the actual blood was mixed together. So he says that Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim both agree that if dam chassas was mixed, was blended together with dam oila, she yikrav, that definitely everybody would agree you can go and offer it on the mizbeach. And we would consider whatever is not supposed to be there as if it was water, because according to Rav Yehuda's understanding, even the Chachamim agree to a certain extent to the concept of Royin. What? It doesn't become water. You consider it as if it was water. For purposes of halacha, we say the blood that you're putting that may end up being on the wrong part of the mizbeach, you're having in mind, or we have in mind on your behalf or whatever, that it's not really blood. It's you're not doing it for kapara. You're just doing it's just water that you're sand sprinkling without a purpose. But really, yeah, obviously physically it's blood, but that's it. Okay. So Rav Yehuda again says, so if it's dam chatas mixed with dam oila, then you go ahead and offer it, and we'll say right. They both agree that if the blood of the korban was mixed with blood of a reveya or nirba or some other animal that is completely off limits for a korban and one of the psulim that we learned about earlier in the perek where they're completely possible and completely off limits for a korban without exception, then shalo yifra, then for sure you're not matched with it. Then for sure says Rav Yehuda, even Rav Eliezer would say you pour it all into the ama, never mind putting it on the bank. Al manachotu, what says Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim arguing about, al dam tmimah shenis arav dam balat mum, when the blood of an animal that was a tumim was mixed up with the blood of an animal that was a balat mum, then should Rabbi Eliezer omer yikrav ben bebovel ben bekosis, then Rabbi Eliezer says you can go ahead and be mak with it, whether it was actually mixed together in one keli or whether it was different containers that were mixed up, for the same reasons that we had earlier in the peret, concerning a vorim of Bali Mumi. where Rabbi Eliezer had learned from Sukkim over there that a Baal Nom, when it's all by itself, you're not allowed to be makriv. You have lavim in the Torah about being about shechting it in the Torah and about being makriv this and then on the mizeach, etc. But not when it's al yidei tarov. It's not when it's mixed up with other ones. Piece, where the piece is, or blood in this case. So therefore, but in this case, Rabbi Eliezer says, when the Baal Nom, first of all, we talked about that a few days ago, you weren't here, but Shitram Kobetzis pointed out that if you're talking about the Baal Nom was mixed with two or more tmimim, or the blood of the Baal Nom was mixed with twice as much blood of tam, then it's bottle on a daraisa level anyway. So then there's the sure number to talk about. The Rabbanon you have when it isn't bottle, but daraisa, everything is bottle, one and two. But even if it was only one in one, even if you had one tam mixed with one Baal Mum, or one Aver of a tam mixed with one Aver of a Baal Mum, Rabbi Eliezer had said, because it's Ayyidei Tarovus, you can go ahead and be makriv. The Issur in the Torah to be makriv Baal Mum, and he learns from Sukkim, doesn't apply in that case. So similarly over here, then, says Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Eliezer would say that if you had blood of a Baal Mum blended with blood of a Tarmim, or a curse of blood of Baal Mum confused with a coat of blood of a Tomim, then Rabbi Eliezer says, go ahead and be mocked with them on the Mizeach. Aye, what about you have blood of a Baal Mum over there? No problem. Roya Nosa, Kilo and Mayan, consider it as if it was water, and therefore you're not over on any Yisr. Bachamman. Both Bolol and Kosis. Bachamman. That's we have two different cases. Bolol all in one container, or Kosis two different containers. You don't know. You mixed up with that. Yeah. Kosis is
two containers separate. But if there's one container,
that's the point.
How do you say Royin?
You still say Royin. Why not? Royin doesn't matter. Yeah. So therefore, so the Chachamim logic, Rav, and the Chachamim say, you can't be makir them. So therefore, we see clearly from what Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds his opinion also when they're blended together in one container, which would mean therefore that Rabbi Eliezer, has to hold yesh bila. Otherwise, when you're doing blood from this container, you might end up getting only the blood of the Baal Mum, and the blood from the Tomim is not going to go on the Mizbeach at all, and it'll be possible. And that contradicts what Rava just said, which is that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim don't disagree in the case of Bolol. They both agree that they disagree in our Mishnah and Kosis. Yeah. The answer is right. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda, live with Rabbi Eliezer, masking name of Bolol and Kosis. You're right. You have two different understandings of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer is that Rabbi Eliezer is talking, arguing both in the case where they're mixed in one keli and the case where the different kelim themselves are mixed up. Rabbanon, but the Chachamim, meaning the Tana of our Mishnah, because it's Pligi, they say that the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in our Mishnah is strictly on the case of Kosis. Not on the issue of when they're blended together in one case. So what Rava said before. The way he presented the machloekes of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is it's not a question of Bilo, not it's a question of it's a question of Kosis, right? Yeah. So Rabbi Yehuda's understanding is that they argue also on both. So Rabbi Yehuda would have a if Rabbi Yehuda had been the Tana of our Mishnah, he would have phrased it differently. He would have said that in all those other cases, you also have Rabbi Eliezer would have to be disagreeing what you just said. Omer Abaya, loy shonu elatchilas chatas fa'ola. This whole discussion that we've been having about what you do in the case of our Mishnah, where you have chatas and ola mixed together. Again, we just finished saying that according to the Tana of our Mishnah, the machlokas is strictly when you have a coast of chatas and a coat of Ola that are confused and you don't know which is which. So this that we said in our mission, where Rabbi Eliezer says, you take from each coat and you do on top and on bottom and consider whatever you did that might be in the wrong place, that is only that's only when we're talking about the beginning, when you're doing the original application of blood for the chasas and the original application of blood for the Ola. In other words, if you have it, the kosis got mixed up before you had a chance to put any of the blood on the back. Aval, Soif Chasas, Va'ola, but if we're talking about over here, if we're talking about over here that they got mixed up, after the blood of the Chasas has already been placed on the Mizeach, and therefore the question is only, Chilas Ola, actually, it's really supposed to be each of them, we'll go back to change of the two. If you have Soif Chasas and Chilas Ola, in other words, you have a container, you have a Mizrach sniffing blood of Chasas, where the Kohen already went and did the applications on the four corners of the Mizrach. Now he brought down for the Chasas. But, and there was no problem, there were no mix-ups, no nothing. Now he brought that container down from the Mizrach, now he brought that Mizrach down from the Mizrach, and he's getting ready to go over and pour it on the Shirayim, and now at that point, it got mixed up with a different container that has blood of Ola. Then says Abaya, then there's no problem. Divrei Hakol, Mokum Ola, Mokum Shirayim. Then everybody would agree you're good, because the same place on the Mizbeah where you're going to be placing the blood of the, where you're going to be placing the blood of the Ola on the bottom half of the Mizbeah, above the Yesod, is the same place that you're going to be putting the Shirayim of the Chasas, and therefore, fine, you just go and do it in that place, and you're done. Now, Tosafot points out that actually, strictly speaking, Tosafot points out like this. When it comes to the Ola, so we know that there are actually supposed to be, the Ola is supposed to be Shtei Matanos Shtei Nazir. You're supposed to have, you do one on the northwestern corner of the Mizbeach. The northeastern corner of the Mizbeach. Yeah, below the Chutat Tikra. Yeah, northeastern corner, which is, okay, so if this is the Mizbeach, and if this is the Mizbeach, and the Heichel is over here, the ramp is over here. So what you do is, therefore, so with an Ola, you go first to this corner, the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach, and you do Shtei Matanos Shtei Nazir, and it goes on the north and on the east. Then you go to this corner over here, southwestern, and you do the same thing, so it goes to the south and to the west, and then you pour the Shirayim over there, Shirayim Adama Yishovah Ha'yisei Jiraimi, and the same, and by the Chasas, the same thing. So Tosafot points out, we have to be talking about over here when we say Soif Chasas Va'ola, it has to mean, in other words, that what we mean is that we're getting ready to do the second application for the Ola. Because if you're doing the first one, then you have a problem. The first one of the Ola is supposed to be over here. The Shirayim of the Chasas are supposed to be over here. That wouldn't work. So therefore, Tosafot learns that we have to be talking about that Soif Chasas. In other words, you already did the four applications Lamaila for the Chasas. Now all you need to do is Shvichas Shirayim over here. Meanwhile, with the Ola one, you did the first Matana over here. Then at that point, when you brought that over here, then that one and the one of the Chasas got confused. That is when Abaya is saying that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim would say, fine, you just go ahead and pour them both onto that corner, because either way, you're good. If it's the Ola, then that's the second corner where you're supposed to be doing it. If it's the Chasas, that's also where you're supposed to be pouring the Shirayim, and therefore you're covered either way.
Where is that going
to be there? Well, that's the next thing we're going to be talking about. When you pour Shirayim, that's the next thing we're going to be talking about. When you pour the Shirayim, is it good enough that they end up on the Yesod, or do they have to be poured directly onto the Yesod? In other words, remember, the Yesod is a ledge. It's a protrusion that sticks out. You have the wall of the Mizbeach coming down like this. Then you have the Yesod sticks out one amma like this, horizontally, and then has a vertical component also down to the floor. When we say you pour the Shirayim, okay, so, right, so you have, in other words, here. So the Yesod is like this, one amma up and one amma in, and then you have the wall of the Mizbeach from there. I probably have a previous drawing sometimes over here, but yeah, I'll draw a new one amma off over here. Here. This is the Yesod over here, this is the wall of the Mizbeach over here. That's all that's relevant for our purpose. The question is, and that's the next thing the Gemara is going to take up, when you pour Shirayim, does it have to be that you pour them directly onto the Yesod, or is it good enough if you do it onto the wall and it trickles down to the Yesod? Well, that Abaya seems to be understanding that it's okay to do it onto the wall and it trickles down to the Yesod, because that's what he's saying, the place where you do it. But the wall is above the Yesod and it trickles down to
the Yesod.
Abaya understands, wait, that's what we're going to discuss now. But we heard you. Now, the answer is that Abaya doesn't have a problem with that. Abaya is holding that as long as it ends up onto the Yesod, that's good enough. By the way, We did have a machlokas earlier in Perek Ezra Makoman. We had a machlokas about whether we had a machlokas also over there about the application of blood onto the yisoid, but that was a slightly different machlokas. That was the question: is does it have to go onto the horizontal part of the yisoid, or can you do it onto the vertical part of the yisoid itself down there? That's a different machlokas. Here's the yisoid sticking out on the bottom over here, right? It itself has a horizontal part, one amma, and a vertical part, one amma. Before, earlier in Ezer Makoman, Daf Menalef and Beis, we discussed the question: does it have to be that doesn't have to be on the horizontal? Does it have to be above the horizontal part, or can you do it even on the vertical part, right above the floor? There are holes on the top of the side. That's true, but the question is: you have to do it into those holes. Here we're dealing with a different question. Can you do the shiraim onto the wall and they trickle down, or do you have to do them above the yisoid, or do you have to do them directly onto the horizontal part of the yisoid, which is called istiva? That's what we're going to be dealing with next. Istiva means literally like a porch or a ledge or something else. Yeah, so Abaya is saying that if you have sof chatas va'ola, would mean, as Tosfos is saying, that it would mean that you have to be talking about you're ready to do the shiraim of the chatas, and you're ready to do the second application with the ola. Because if you still have yet to do the first application with an ola, with the ola, you'd have a problem, because that's supposed to be on this corner, and the chatas is supposed to be on this corner. On the other hand, the Shittim Kobetas, who has over here both chatas and Tzilas ola, he would understand, he doesn't even spell it out over here, but he would apparently understand that it doesn't matter so much. The fact that, in fact, Tosfos himself actually continues to talk about it. The fact is, even though we learned earlier, we learned Ezer Makoma and Matt, Shiri Adjama Yeshua Chayyutai Joini when it comes to a chatas, and we learned it from Stukim, not necessarily does it have to be in that corner. Usually you would do it in that corner, but b'dievet, if you were to pour the shirayim on some other part, as long as it's above the yisoid, it would be kosher. So in this case, what we could say is fine. Go, even if you're talking about the first time of the ola, go ahead and do it over here. That's not the usual place you would do it for a chatas. Doesn't matter. In order to be machshir, the chatas will allow it in this case. And then so in other words, it could be even the other way around. Maybe what you would do is go first and do the ola over here. That way you're covered for the second one for the chatas, the shirayim for the chatas, and the first one for the ola. And then go do the one over here. You're not supposed to, ideally, but in this case, b'dieved, because they were confused, then therefore you can do that. So those are the various possibilities. Those are the various possible understandings of what Abaya is saying. Okay, so that's Abaya. Amalei Rav Yosef. So in Makom Ola, Makom Shirayim. In other words, the same place where the blood of the Ola is supposed to be is the same place above the Yisod where the Shirayim are supposed to go. So therefore, you're good. But Amalei Rav Yosef. See, Rav Yosef answers Abaya. No, because Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda. Because you should know, Rav Yehuda said Shirayim Tzrichin Istiva. The Shirayim have to be poured onto the ledge, onto the protrusion. The horizontal part of the yisoid. It's not good enough to put them. It's called the istiva.
Not the vertical
part. Now, the vertical part would be the wall of the mezeach. Yeah.
No, on the yisoid.
The vertical part of the yisoid, no, it's definitely not called istiva. No, the question, in other words, what we say, shirayim tzrichin istiva means they have to go over here, not over here and trickle down to the yisoid. So therefore, that's not going to work. V'chein amar Rav Shimon. And so also, and so also, Reb Shimon said, Shidron Kobetes, and on the side of it, he changes it to Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Rish Lakish says. Also, Lo Shonar al Achilas Chatas Va'Ola. Now, Rish Lakish says the same as Abaya, that the Machlokes in our Mishnah is only when you're talking about the original application for the Chatas and for the Ola, Chilas Chatas and Chilas Ola. Avol Sos Chatas Va'Ola, Sos Chatas and Chilas Ola. Divrei Hakol Makom Ola Makom Shirayim. But here again, the same way as Abaya says that, and Rabbi Yosef argues with him, the same thing. Amar Rabbi Yechanan became Rabbi Elazar. No, Rabbi Yechanan, or some say Rabbi Elazar said, no, Adayin hi machloikas, you still have a machloikas in that case also. And Rabbi Yechanan doesn't spell out Rabbi Yechanan is usually the one who argues with Rishlokish. So in other words, Rishlokish is saying, like Abaya, that it's okay because Mokum Ola Mokum Shirayim, the same place where the blood of the Ola is supposed to go is the same place where the Shirayim of the Chatas are supposed to go, and therefore you're good. But Rabbi Yosef would argue that no, Shirayim Tzrichin Istiva, Rabbi Yechanan is saying effectively the same thing. Adayin hi machlokas, you still have the same machlokas in that case because it's not the same place.
Or higher than the
right, so therefore it's not the same place. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would still have the machlokes, even in that case, that Rabbi Eliezer would say, fine, go ahead and do it, in the various places where it needs to be done, and Royin will consider wherever it wasn't supposed to be as if it was water, whereas the Chachamim will say, but you don't have a possibility, says Rabbi Yechanan or Rabbi Eliezer, you don't have a possibility to do like Rish Lakish is saying in this case, of soak chafas and chilas ola, to say that you're going to pour it on the wall and let it trickle down to the yisoid, and it'll count for shirayim or chafas, because that's not the way you're supposed to do shirayim. You're supposed to do shirayim directly on... We said in the Mishnah, imlay nimlach benos on kosher. If you didn't act, and you went and did lamayla and lamasa, then we'll say after all it is kosher. Even by tchila. But here we're talking about, that you still have the machlokas, that the chum would still say, since it's not exactly the same place for both of them, then therefore you shop a cloud. Most of Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Okay, so Rav Huna bar Yehuda asks on this. We learn in Rav Huna bar Yehuda is one of the Amorim. I don't know exactly when he lived, but whatever. You're telling me, you Rav Yosef are telling me, and Rav Yechanan, you seem to be saying also, that Makam Ola and Makam Shirayim are not the same thing, because the Ola of blood is supposed to go on the wall of the Mizeach, and the Shirayim of Chasos or any carbon are supposed to go on to the top of the Yisod. But we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, when the Pasuk says, Kodesh Haim, the Pasuk says regarding a Bechor, it says Kodesh Haim, and the word Haim is a mute. It means Bahava Yotan Yu. It means, it was not really a mute. It means Bahava Yotan Yu. It means they retain their original status, meaning, the Braisa says, changing out of the Dan Kodesh Macherim, that even if the blood of the Bechor was mixed with the blood of other Kodeshim, Yikrivu, you still offer it on the Zerach. Now, my life. That's all the Braisa is saying. The Braisa is saying, because you have a cost Kodesh Haim, therefore it teaches us that the blood of a Bechor, even if it was mixed with the blood of some other Korban, it hasn't lost its identity, you go ahead and be mad with it. Now,
it's always
Kodesh, what? The word Haim means Bahava Yotzen Yu, it means it retains its status.
But what about as far as
that's the thing. Okay, so Rashi thinks out, according to the Rabbanon, you would have to be talking about it wasn't mixed with a Chassos, because then you have the top and bottom half problem, and that wouldn't work. So we'd have to be talking about where it was according to the Chachamim, where it was mixed with an Ola. According to the Eliezer, it could work even if it was mixed with a Chassos. Whatever, the point is that my lab, so for Ola or Bechor. Lechora, what's the case that we're talking about, is where you have it was mixed with an Ola after the blood of the Ola was already done, Shema Shana Shrein Abra. And all you have left to do is, shirayim, which are supposed to be poured, onto the yisod. And in the case of the bechor, you have it goes, it's matana achas avobashi yis and the kenegera yisod. It has to go on the wall of the mizbeach, as long as it's someplace above the yisod. We learned earlier in the Ezra Mekarim, we learned that the yisod only went around two full sides of the mizbeach. So there would have to be someplace on one of those two sides. So lechora, the braisa is talking about the case of sof ola bechor, ushmamin a makam ola makam shirayim. Well, then that would tell us the same place where the shirayim of the ola go on the yisod is the same place where the blood of the bechor goes, the original matana of the bechor, that goes against Rabbi Yosef and against Rabbi Yisrael, that goes in favor of Abaya and in favor of Rish Lakish. That therefore you can go ahead and take this mixture and do it over here. It'll count for the Bechor because that's the proper place to do it. It'll also count for the Shirayim of the Ola because it will trickle down to the Yisod, and that's fine. So therefore, that's where the Braisa seems to be supporting that version of things. Not like Rabbi Yosef, who says that Shirayim got to actually pour it onto here. No, the answer is no, you don't have to understand the Braisa that way. Because you could say the Braisa is talking about Chilas Ola Bechor. Maybe the Braisa is talking about... We argued that maybe it means my love so far Ola Bechor. But the answer is Chilas Ola Bechor. No, maybe the Braisa means it's only if they got mixed in at the beginning. You hadn't yet done the Matana of the Ola. You hadn't yet done the Matana of the Bechor. Both of them go on the bottom half of the Mizeach. The only difference is that a Bechor you only need one time, and a Bechor you need Shtei Matana Shtein Abra. So that's when the Braisa is telling us that you should know the Bechor's blood has not lost its identity. You can go ahead and offer it on the Mizeach as part of the mixture. And there we would have. You'd have to be subject to the Machlokas of Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And on Mishnah, do you do it one time, or do you do Shtei Matana Shtein Abra?
So in other words, Kodesh Ham means they're not.
Means that we allow the blood of this Bechor to be offered on the Mizeach.
One would have that, two would have four, and one
right?
So, but, yeah,
Yeah, well, like we had in our mission, we had a machloek, that's Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Do you do it one time because otherwise you're over on Baltosis? Or do you do it Shema Tana Shema because otherwise you're over on Baltosis? Fine, but the point is that you can do it. But not necessarily, again, not necessarily when we're dealing with where the matonis of the Ola have already been done, and all that's left of it is Shechat Shiraim, whereas the Bechor, you have yet to do it on the wall on the back. Not necessarily is the Braith is talking about that case. Maybe, in fact, in that case, according to the Chachamim, it would be possible, because it's not in the same place, like Rabbi Yosef, and like Rabbi Yosef is saying, and like Rabbi Yosef is saying. That's what we're trying to figure out, yeah.
But now you've changed the Kila Ola instead of Sof.
Yes, because the Braita didn't spell out one way or the other.
Right.
If you say it means Sof Ola, then that would support Abaya. If you say it's Tehanat Kila Ola, then you don't have a proof one way or the other to Abaya.
But we changed it because Kedesh Nem seems to mean that...
No, we didn't change. No, we changed because not necessarily can you use this Braita to contradict Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef could understand that it's talking about Kila Ola and Kila Sofar. The Braita didn't spell out one way or the other. Okay, so the question is, my Kamash Malon. That's how the Gemara does it. My love, shouldn't we assume that means, perhaps it means, so far? And the answer is, no, that's not what it means. It means, that's the Gemara's standard way of dealing with Braita. So the question is, my Kamash Malon. Yeah, but in that case, what's the Chiddush of the Braita? That in Olam Mevatlin Zeh, in that case, then what is the Braita trying to inform us? That different kinds of blood that are all supposed to go on in the Zeh are not Mevatl one another. So even if you have more of one, even if you have, let's say, more Ola blood than Bechor blood, it's not going to be Mevatl to Bechor blood. You don't need this Braita to tell us. I have a lock off me. We don't need this Pasuk Kodesh to teach us that. I have a lock off me Dama Torah, me Dama Torah Nafka. We learn that from a different Pasuk, that it says by the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, that the Kohen takes the blood of the Pyre and the blood of the Sor, and mixes them together, and applies them to the Mizbeach HaRav, and even though a Pyre has more blood than a Sor does, nevertheless the blood of the Sor doesn't lose its identity. Not considered separate, it's Yeshvila, but it doesn't lose its identity. No, but that, okay, they we talk and mix with them, but the point is that they are together in one kavi, that's good enough for our purposes, but the point is, the blood of the sire, it doesn't become bottle in the blood of the pyre, even though there's more of it. So Rabbi Yehuda, in the Mishnah, a couple of Mishnayos ago, had used that as a general rule to say, ein dam mevatel dam, that in general, one min b'mino is not bottle. The Chachamim who disagree with that and say, min b'mino is bottle, they say, fine, all the process is teaching us is that different things that go on the Mizbeach are not mevatel each other. But in other words, so you learn from that therefore that the blood of the Bechor won't lose its identity, won't be bottled in the blood of the Ola. Why do you need to put the Kodesh answer, right? The answer is Tanoi. It's actually a Machlokes Tanoi. Ika denaska le mehocha, ika denaska le mehocha. Some Tanoi learn it from one Pasuk, some of them learn it from a different Pasuk. Later on in the Sogia, we'll see why we need two different Pasuk. We're actually going to have, there's going to be three different Pasuk from which we learn this concept. But we'll see why the different Tanoi in each one feels that you have to learn it from a different Pasuk. Why I can't learn it from the other one, right?
So the Tana of our Mishnah would...
So not the Tana of our Mishnah. The Tana of the first Braita would say, you learn it from Kodeshim. And the Tana of the second Braita, the Tana of the second Braita, we didn't even quote a Braita, but just another Tana would learn it from Velochach Midama Pora Midama, sorry. Okay, Tosfos asked, by the way, the question, when the Gemara asked a minute ago, well, my Kamash Malon, in that case, if you're just telling us that it's talking about Tchilas Bechor and Tchilas Ola, then what's the Chiddush? So I said, what do you mean, what's the Chiddush? You have the whole point that we discussed in our Mishnah, that you do one Matana or you do two Matanas, Baltigra, Baltosfos, all discussion back and forth between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and our Mishnah. Maybe the Braita just needs to be informing us of that one way or the other you do it without worrying about that. The Tosfos answer is because since your Eliezer holds that you can do the Shemayim, that you can consider it as if it was water, then there's no issue about Tosfos. If therefore the Braita, if the Braita is going according to Rabbi Eliezer, then there's no Chiddush in telling us that the blood of the Bechor is not bottle, because we know you have the concept of Roya. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, you do only one, you're not worried because Shev Bal Paseh. So again, the point is, according to either Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua, you wouldn't need a Pasuk to teach us these concepts that we could understand on our own. So that's why the Gemara asks that if we're just saying Tchilas Ola Bechor, then there's no Chiddush in it. We can learn it from Midama Parah, Midama Sar, and the answer is yes. But the Tana of the Sprite so holds that this is where you learn the basic concept that Ola are not Mavasal each other. That blood of one carbon is not Mavasal blood of another carbon. Yes. Okay. But we said we do need it according to that time. Okay. Masid Rava, so now Rava has to have another contradiction. And Braisa says, Vehikribu b'nei Aaron et Adam v'zorku et Adam. At the beginning of Parashat Vayikra, when it discusses about offering an over, the procedure of offering an over, so it says that the Kohenim bring close the blood, and then they sprinkle the blood. So why does it have to repeat Matam Adlema Dam Dam? Why does it have to repeat the word Dam? Why does it have to repeat the word Dam? There's a difference here. So over here, Shishim Kobretz brings a different thing that it means that what we're dashing from is that you actually have another time that it says Dam over there, and you have it says S Adam, and therefore the S is also extra, whatever. The reason why, so the Braisa says, should Yochol Eni Ela Elu Shenis Arvul B'Tzmadasa, because if you didn't have the repeated word Dam, then you would think, fine, you know what, when you have, let's say, a Kurban that was mixed up with a Tzmura, then fine, so then whether, even if they were mixed, in other words, if the blood of an Ola was mixed up with the blood of a Tzmura of an Ola, fine, then you would say, then of course you go ahead and be master of it, Sha'af Mechayim Kitra, because then, after all, the din is that you're master of the tshmura of an oila is also brought as an oila. The tshmura of a shlomim is also brought as a shlomim. The tshmura of most korbanos is brought exactly like the original korban. So therefore, for sure. So if you didn't have anything extra in the pot, if you didn't have the extra dam, you would think like this. Okay, an oila got mixed up with a tshmura's oila. Sure, you go ahead and be makir then. And therefore, if blood of an oila was mixed up with blood of a tshmura of an oila, also go ahead and be makir of it, no problem. How do we know to include that the same din applies not only to an Ola, but also to a Todo or a Shlomim? And the answer is, again, you don't need a pasuk for it. Magani Todo Shlomim, we can burn Benedo and Dabra Kabosa. We can use a binyan out for that. An Ola can be brought Benedo and Dabra, you can bring it voluntarily. A Todo or a Shlomim also, the same thing. So logically, from that reason alone, whatever applies to an Ola will apply to this. Okay, what about Minayin Lodabas as an Osham? Fine, so you would argue maybe you need the pasuk to teach us that the same din applies to an Osham that was mixed up with its own Tmura, for example. Or let's say, for example, if an Oila was mixed up with an Osham, how would you know that you're master of both? And the answer is, again, I don't need a pasuk for that. Mabe, and as an Osham, Shaton, Matan Dalab, Kamosa, because an Osham is just like an Oila. They both need the same Shtema Shana Shena, right? So therefore, again, you don't need a pasuk for it. Now we have to ask the question, fine, but how do we know that the same thing applies if blood of an Ola got mixed up with blood of a Bechor or a Meister or a Pesach, which doesn't have the same application, because Ola is Shtei Matana Shrein Abba and Bechor and Meister and Pesach is one? That is why, Talmud Lema, Dam Dam. That is why we need the extra word, Dam, in the process to teach us that even if blood of an Ola was mixed up with blood of Bechor or Meister or a Pesach, nevertheless, we still sprinkle it on the Mizbeach.
So again, my lab, so is Oilo
Bechor. So, again, the reason why we're bringing up the question, Rava is asking the question, again, since the Braisa is saying generically that when the blood of an Oilo got mixed up with blood of Bechor, you go ahead and be matched with it. Bechora, that means even if it was Soif Oilo, even if it was the case where the blood of the Oilo was already sprinkled and now you're just talking about Shirayim, and the beginning of the Bechor, where the Bechor's blood hasn't been offered, hasn't been sprinkled yet, and therefore Oshmamina Makam Ola Makam Shirayim, and then therefore that would yield Abaya's point before, that the same place where the blood of the Ola goes, where the Shirayim of the Ola go, which can, in other words, it can be on the side of the Mizeah and trickle down to the side, is also the same place, Makam Ola Makam Shirayim, the same, yeah, because the Braisa says generically, so therefore shouldn't it mean that Makam Ola Makam Shirayim, the same thing where the Shirayim, the same place where the Shirayim can go, is the same place where the Ola or any other Korban can go on the wall of the Mizeah and it'll trickle down. And then, therefore, that would, again, support a bias position and contradictory basis. Again, the answer is no, it's chilas olo b'chor. Again, no, you could say this Braisa is also talking about when you're starting out with the zrika of the b'chor, and you're starting out with the zrika of the olo. So then, given that they both go above the yisod, someplace on the wall of them is there, then, yeah, the only question is whether you're doing one time or two times, and that you have the machlokes of the Yezir and of Yeshua and Mishnah, whether you do it one or two times. Again, the question is, my kamash malondein olam levatim zeh. Again, then the question is, what would be the chiddush of the Braisa then? Telling us that the blood of one korban is not mevatel the blood of the other korban, even if it's a greater amount. we said we learned it from the Karbanos of Yom Kippur. So what do you need the pasuk? Dam dam. But fire has more blood than a fire, and yet it's not mivatel. And again,
they're both what?
They're both offered on the Mizbeach. That's the point.
The two and two.
What do you mean? You have more blood of a power than you have blood of a star. And yet we're saying when you put them together in the one basin, then nevertheless you can go, it's still considered, and it's still considered. Each one has its identity. And therefore, when you're sprinkling on the Mizbeach, you sprinkle both of them from the power and from the star. So therefore, so you could learn from there. What do you need from to learn from Dam Dam? And again, the answer is Tanoi. Again, the answer is that's Machloek the Tanoim. Ika denasla mehocha, the Ika denasla mehocha. Some Tanoim learn it from the power and the fur. Some Tanoim learn it from Dam Dam. Okay.
So
that's the question. Bahani Tanoim is the one. Now we have three different Lamudim. We had another Aleph. We had the first one that we learned it from Kodesh Hain in connection with the Bechor. Then we have Midam Akhor and Midam Akhor. Now we have Dam Dam. So there's three different Lamudim that teach us the same thing. Why do we need that? So, Vahani Tanoim Mivalokach Midam Akhor and Midam Akhor Lo Yalpi. Now the reason why the other two Tanoim, the Tana of the Braisa from Amud Aleph that Rav Huna Bar Yehuda brought, and the Tana of the Braisa that Rava brought, the reason they don't want to learn this concept from Mivalokach Midam Akhor and Midam Akhor is Kasavri Ein Ma'arvim Lakroni. Because they hold that actually you don't. We learned earlier in the Sechta that when it comes, can I explain, please? That, yeah. When you have, we know that with the blood on Yom Kippur, the power and the sawyer, they're kept separate for the Kodesh HaKadosh, and you do eight separate sprinklings from each one in the Kodesh, and you do eight separate sprinklings from each one in front of the Kodesh. Then what happens? We learned earlier in the Sechta that you have a machloikas what happens at that point. Do you go and mix together the two basins of blood at that point and apply the mixture to the four corners of the Mizbeach and then seven times on top? Or do you keep them separate? You do four from the power, separately four from the star, and then you mix them together and do seven times onto the top of the Mizbeach. We have different tanoim. So the tanoim of these two brides say that you don't. Therefore, there's no mixture. Therefore, you can't learn from Midam Akhor and Midam Akhor because they're not mivatel to each other. They're in separate containers.
So they have to learn
from someplace else. Midam Dam Loyalis. Next, two out of the three Tanoim do not want to learn from Dam Dam because they say Dam Dam Loy Mashmalu, because they say you don't learn anything extra from the fact that it says extra, so that it says another time Dam. That's just a divertor to Kolosh Neodim. That's just a normal way of talking. Elam is Kodesh Heim My Time Loyalti. So why don't any of the other Tanoim want to learn this concept that blood of one korban is not mivatel the blood of another korban? Why don't they want to learn it from Kodesh Heim by the Bechor? The answer is Kostavi, because they hold that you learn from that Kodesh Heim, you learn something different. Kostavi, Kodesh Heim means Heim Kraven, the ancient Morot and Kraven. They say you learn a different din from the word Kodesh Heim. It means, unlike most korbanos, such as we were saying before, an Ola, for example, an Ola, where you make a Tmura of it, the Tmura is also broader than Ola. Where do we know that a Bechor is not like that? A Tmura of a Bechor is not offered as a Bechor. They say, we learn from this passage, Kodesh Heim, meaning that Heim is a mute. Heim Kraven, Vein Tmura of the Kraven. That only the Bechor itself is offered as a Kraven. The Tmura of it is not. Therefore, they need the Kodesh Heim for that. Therefore, they don't have it available to teach us about blood not being about the blood.
We have mentioned that
before, but I don't know if we mentioned that. Okay. The Idach, okay, so what would the other opinion answer? The other opinion that says that we do learn about blood not being mevatel blood from it, blood of Korbanos not being mevatel blood of Korbanos, he says, Nafkaleni in Shurim Sel Hashem Hu. He says, yes, but you can learn that from a different passage that it says regarding a Bechor. That it says whether it's a sheep or whether it's cattle or whether it's sheep, Lashem Hu, it is for Hashem. Meaning again, the who is who Kodesh Vein Tzmorot Tekreva. Meaning only it is offered, not a Tzmorot. Okay, if you have two different Tanoim who learn this concept that a Tzmorot of a Bechor is not offered from different sources. One Tana learns it from La Shem Hu, therefore he has Kodesh Heim available to teach us the concept that blood of one Korban is not the vassal blood of the other Korban.
Well, how do you learn that?
Because La Shem Hu is a Tzmorot. Who Kodesh, only it, the Bechor itself, is offered Vein Tzmorot Tekreva. Okay, so anyway, so that was a side thing. The getting back to the main point, though, which is we're still trying to figure out about this question of whether mokum oila mokum shirayim, whether the sprinkling on the side is good enough for shirayim, because they trickle down to the side, or whether they have to be done onto the top of the side. So, Toshman, not on the Ma'ilavul and Mokam, a proof from the last part, from the next part of our Mishnah. We said, if he did, in our Mishnah, when we had the Machloikas regarding the Chatas and the Oila, that were blood that were mixed together, or we said, okay, we said they weren't mixed together, we said they were in different choices, but whatever, the point is, we said that Rabbi Eliezer says you do Lamaila and then you do Lamasa, and that way it counts for both, and the Chachamim disagreed, and you said you pour them into the Amah, but we said, not the Lamaila of Nimlach, but if you did put some of the blood on the top half without asking, everybody agrees that you should go ahead and pour it on the bottom half, and it'll count for both Karbonis, that way you're covered for both the Chatas and for the Oila. So, my lobby out of Chatas Vaila. L'chora, then, we're talking about that a Chatas and that blood of a Chatas and blood of an Oila were mixed together. Now, the Kivin de Yoyev Leila Maila, now what happens when you do blood on the top half, and some of it was the blood of a Chatas, Havalahu Shirayim, at that point, whatever is left of the blood of a Chatas is now considered Shirayim, because once you did the Matanis of the Chatas, then everything else is left as Shirayim. And we're saying that both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yezer say that you go ahead and do Lamasa. Well, how can, so wouldn't that mean, therefore, that it means that the same place where the blood of the Oila goes on the wall of the Mizrach is also a valid place to put Shirayim? Because according to Rabbi Yosef, how would that work out? What do you mean, go ahead and put it Lamasa? If it's Shirayim of the Chatas is supposed to go here, and if it's blood of the Oila is supposed to go here, and it's not the same place, the fact that the Mishnah is saying that everybody agrees you can go ahead only works out. It seems to only work according to Abaya, not according to Rabbi Yosef. The answer is Ki also Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef. When Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he said Amri v'Mar Rebbe. They say in Eretz Yisrael, Tochav Ma'asin going the Erev Chatas Achitzoina b'Shirayim. Yes, but you have to understand, he says, the case that we're talking about in our Mishnah is that you have blood of a chatas chitzona was mixed up with shirayim of chatas apnim. So, in other words, chatas apnim, we haven't talked about that, but all this time we were understanding that the case was that you have chatas and oila mixed together. Chatas and oila, chatas chitzona and oila. Now we're going to understand differently. That we're talking about, after all the Mishnah said was anitan lamasah and it's avim anitan lamaila. We understood all this time lamasah meant an ola and lamaila meant a chatas chesona. Now it says Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, we can understand differently. Lamaila does mean a chatas chesona. Lamasah doesn't mean an ola. Lamasah means shirayim of a chatas apnimim.
Why would they mix in the same...
not necessarily mixed in the same container. We said before, it could be kosher, but whatever. The point is, it could happen. After you did the chatas apnim, it's after you did all the sprinklings that were supposed to be done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh and what have you, then you take it out and you're supposed to pour the shirayim onto the yisod. Meanwhile, you have a chatas chesonis, where the blood is supposed to be put on the top half of the mizrach, and then the rest poured onto the yisod, and you got them mixed up. So that would be the case over here. So in other words, so again, according to the Chachamim, you would say that you shop it, because effectively what you would have over here is you have what you're coming out with, therefore, is blood that was done b'snim, and now you're going to be putting some of it b'chot on the top half of the zeh, and you're not supposed to be doing that. It's shalodim kaimai. But b'di'evid, if you did it, Then at that point, they're both shirayim, and then they both therefore go on to the yisod. Rashi points out this would only work according to Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Shimon. We have a few machlokas. We learned in Ezer Makoyman. We said that chatoris apnimius, the blood, the shirayim goes on yisod ma'arabi, whereas chatoris chatonius goes on yisod zroimi. So the different parts of the yisod. However, we have there Rabbi Shmuel saying they both go on Yisod Ma'arabi. We have Rabbi Shimon saying they both go on Yisod Zeremi. So our Gemara would have to be according to either one or the other of those opinions. Okay, well, it's my time now, so we'll finish up tomorrow. That's the same.